We begin the current daf and start the side of the daf lamed aleph. We begin on the third line down on the top of the yamid. The Gemara continues with the theme that was mentioned in our Mishnah regarding what's called Bay Bayoim Darash, that it was on that day that they appointed the new Nasir Elazar ben Azariah, and therefore there was an increase in Talmudic discourse, and there were many different things that were expounded on that day. And one of them is Bay Bayoim Darash Abishu ben Horkanes. He expounded and he said, Shaloi Avar Iev Vechulu, that Iev, the biblical figure that has a sefer called Sefer Iev, he only served Hashem out of love. Now, the question is, first the source was brought from Hei Yikteluni Lo Yachel, which is, behold, he's killing me, yet in spite of that, still I yearned for him. So you see that even though he was getting tormented at Yisuri Iev, as it's called, still he served Hashem out of love. But then it's brought that Adayin Adavar Shakel, it's still not clear if it was something that he was doing out of love or not. Therefore, another pasuk was brought. And that asks the Gemara, V'lech zihai loy, what do you mean? What does it mean when it's not clear if the pasuk of Hinyik Teluni loy yachel, if it means that to him I'm going to yearn, which means he's doing out of love, or loy with an aleph, not loy with a vav, loy, I'm not going to yearn for him because, oh, what do you mean? I'm not doing out of love because I'm getting all this punishment. Might as well not serve him. I'm not yearning for this. So that the Gemara's question is, what do you mean? Look at the word. Iba lamed aleph ksiv loyhu. If it's written lamed aleph, so then that's the word no. So it's mean that he's not serving out of love because it's saying loya yachal, I am not yearning for him. And iba lamed vav ksiv loyhu. And if it's written a lamed with a vav, that means to him, that means I am yearning for him. So why is it brought, as it says, hadavar dayin shakal, with this pasuk itself, it would not have been enough of a verification that he was serving him out of love, and therefore another pasuk had to be brought. What do you mean? Check if it's with a vav, about an aleph, and then you'll be able to verify if it was something that he had done out of love or not. So that the Gemara answers, v'cholhecha d'chsiv b'lamad aleph loyhu, what do you think? Let's say we would check, and it's, let's say, not with a lamad vav. Rather, it'd be with a lamad aleph. You think that would indicate when it says lo yayachal, meaning you would read it that I don't yearn for him, and that would prove that he's not serving him out of love? But El Miata, but I'll prove to you that's not necessarily correct. We could have with a Lamed Aleph that could still be read not as no, but as to him, as if there was a vav there. Because there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Bechol tzarasam loy tzar, says Hashem, in all their pain, loy tzar. Now, the chsiv Lamed Aleph, it's written with a Lamed and an Aleph. So, says the Gemara, Hachanami Deloyu, you would think as you're entertaining in your question that would mean no, meaning that in all their pain, loy tzar, I am not part of their pain, I don't care that they're in pain, the Jewish people, says Hashem. V'chitem ha'chinami, and says the Gemara, if you would entertain to say that yes, since it's written with lamed aleph, it means no, and the pasuk saying that Hashem, so to speak, is not concerned with their pain, and he's not bothered with that. But v'aksiv, it says there in that same pasuk, u'malach panav ha'ishim, that an angel from in front of him goes and saves the Jewish people. So obviously the pasuk is indicating that Hashem is concerned with their pain, and that's why he goes and saves them. So therefore the Gemara concludes, El Olav, rather, mashmahachi, mashmahachi. So therefore the question is not difficult, because we couldn't just check the spelling and say, oh, if it's with Alam and Aleph, means say that it's not yearning for Hashem, it's not out of love, because as we see from this other pasuk in Yeshaya, that even Lamed Aleph could sometimes be interpreted as if there was with Lamed Vav, and that's why, again, we need another pasuk to prove this point, that Eve serves Hashem only out of love. Now, however, Bir Ben Zakkai was mentioned in the Mishnah that Eve served Hashem not out of love, but rather out of fear. So related to this, the Gemara brings Tanya Lurna Brais, Remeya Omer, he says, Nem Yirei Elikim BeEiv. It says that regarding Eve, that he was someone that feared God. And V'nem Yirei Elikim BeAvram, it also says regarding Avram Avinu that he was someone that feared God, as it says in Bereishis Chav Beis. Ki Yirei Elikim At, that Hashem says, now I know that you are someone that fears God. Now, it says Remeir, my Yirei Elikim Amar BaAvram Me'ahava, just like the fear of God that it's called Avram Avinu, a God fear, it's out of love. Af Yirei Elikim Amar BeEiv Me'ahava, so too, although it calls him that he fears God, it's not because his primary attribute that was causing his fear was that of fear. Rather, it was coming out of his great love for Hashem that he had this certain awe and reverence and fear for Hashem. Now, the Gemara asks Avram Gufiminon, how do we know that actually Avram Avinu, his appellation, his term that he's given of Yirei Elikim is coming from love. Somebody says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Zera Avram Oyhavi. Hashem calls Avram Avinu the children of my beloved Avram. You see that there was an hava, there was a love between Avram and Hashem, and therefore the fear that he had was only an emanation stemming from his great love, and so too by Eve. Now the Gemara says, "My ikibein isim ahavalo isim yir." What is the difference regarding someone that does what he has to because it's coming from love or it's coming out of fear? So now the Gemara says, "Ikahad detanya." There is the following that we learned in the Brisa. He says, "Gadol ha'isim ahava yisim na'isim yir." It's greater that who does what Hashem requires of him out of love than that who does it out of fear. And the proof is shezeh, because someone that does it out of fear, toloi, his merits are there and remain for his generations to protect his descendants until the elavdar, until 1,000 generations after. Now, whereas bezeh, but someone that does it out of love, tolu la'alofim dar, it retains that merit up till 2,000 generations. And the proof is because Hachik Siv, it says a pasuk in Shemais, it begins in Perek Chav, pasuk Vav, it says, Va'aisachas, that Hashem does kindness, la'alofim, for 1,000 generations, la'ahava yelushem mitzvayis, for those who he loves and those who keep his mitzvahs. Now, Bahasim Siv, but the pasuk in Devarim says, ulashem mitzvayis of la'alofdar, and those who keep his mitzvahs for 1,000 generations. So we see that the one that calls ahava out of love is for 2,000 generations, whereas the ones who just keep his mitzvahs, they're doing it out of fear, is for 1,000 generations. Now, but the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Hasam Namik Siv, this last pasuk we just quoted, that says if 1,000 generations, it does. It's not just L'Shem Mitzvayisav, the word right before says, L'Yahavav O L'Shem Mitzvayisav L'Alav Dar. For those that he loves, that love him, and those who keep his mitzvahs, is for 1,000 generations. So we see that even Oisim Ahava seemingly is not for 2,000 generations, only 1,000. Now the Gemara answers, the interpretation is for the term that's right before the reward of 1,000 or 2,000. In other words, by a havav, it says right next to the concept of la'alofim. The other pasuk, when it talks about it, it's only for elafter of 1,000 generations, is right next to shemi mitzvaysa, which means those who do out of fear. So although the pasuk there, yes, mentions also a havav, but that's not right next to the elafter, because actually oisim ahava, as the other pasuk indicates, is for 2,000 generations, and oisim yir is only 1,000. Now, as Rashi explains, they're fundamentally different. Someone that is pirish from doing something wrong out of love, and those who stay back out of fear. Because those who do it for the love of the reward or from the fear of the punishment, of the curses and the consequences, that's Isim Meira. Here what we're talking about is, when we're talking about Isim Mehava, is out of the love of Hashem. And the awe that comes from that love, which is, there's such a great trepidation that on certain people because of this is something so incredible, I don't want to lose this. So there could be a certain fear as if someone would have with a child that's coming out of the love, and if someone is carrying on the shoulder his child and is dancing with him, so there's a great love there, but there's a certain fear, you don't want to drop that child. That's again the same concept. We're fundamentally different, although they could both be Yira, but if it's coming from Yira, it's one thing, versus coming from Ahava, it's a whole different type of a thing. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by showing these two different dimensions of Ahava and Yira, that Hanu Trei Talmidei Dehava Yosvi Kamei DeRava. There were these two students that were sitting in front of Rava. Chad Amalei, one of his students said to Rava, Akruyin Bechalmoi, it was read to me in my dream, a pasuk in Tehillim, that says, Ma Rav Tovcha Shetzafanti L'Riecha, what great goodness is concealed for those who fear you, Hashem. And the other student said to Rava, it says, Akrin Bechel Mo'i, in my dream it was read to me, a different pasuk in Tehillim, that says, V'yismuchu kol chesivach, that all who seek refuge and mercy by you will rejoice. La'olam yiraneinu, they will forever sing a song. And the end of that pasuk says, V'yaltzu v'cha oyev eshemecha, and they will exalt those who love your name. So Amalahu, he said to his two students, Tarvaichutz Rabbanon Tzadiki Gemuri Atun. Both of you Talmudic scholars are purely righteous people. But Mar Me'ahava U'Mar Me'hira. But one of you, obviously, which was the second student, is someone that serves out of love. And that's why the reference there was Ahava Shemecha. And one of you does it out of fear, which was like it said in the previous students, Pasuk in Tehillim, which is Asher Tzavanta L'Riyacha. But these are two ways of serving Hashem, both Me'hira and Me'ahava. Hadimloch Kshem Shamayim, which I return to you, the fifth parak of Masechta Saita, parak Kshem Shamayim. With that, we begin the sixth parak Mishakine. So the Mishnah begins. And this is a small parak which we're going to finish in this daf. Me, regarding someone, that if after Shekina Le'ishtoi, that after that he warned his wife not to seclude with this man, and Venistra, and she secluded with him, so that explains the first opinion, even if, quote, he hears that she secluded with this man from a flying bird, that she concealed herself, so then Yitziv Yitin Ksuba, he goes and he divorces her and he gives her Ksuba. That's the Reb Eliezer, that's the opinion of Reb Eliezer. Now, Reb Eliezer goes according to his opinion mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, Nav Beis Mabeis, that he said there's three basic elements for a Saita. There's the Kina, the warning, there's the Stira when she gets secluded, and then there's the Edei Tuma who testify and say that we saw that she actually had this cohabitation. Now, Reb Eliezer's opinion is that the seclusion, the Satira, doesn't need Edus, doesn't need like his regular things that needs verification in court, it needs two witnesses, it doesn't need, and that is even a slave or even a maidservant are believed. And that's essentially what he's using the term here in the Mishnah of like Ka'ifa Perech, like a bird flying by. And the reason being is because he holds that the halacha of stira, of the seclusion of the yichud, is compared to the halacha of the tumah, which is the one who testifies and says, I actually saw the cohabitation, where everyone is believed regarding that. And therefore, just here where you have even a slave that said that she's secluded, she really becomes forbidden to him. Now, what it means over here when Reb Eliezer is saying that he has to divorce and give her a ksuba, it means to say, if he doesn't want to take her through this whole process of saita safik, which is to give her the mei saita to drink, then if he doesn't want to go through that, but she's forbidden to him, because again, she had kinu and stira, the only way she could be permitted is through the verification of the drinking of the Saita waters. And if he doesn't want to, that's what he means to say, that Yetziv Yitin Ksuba, and he has to divorce her and give her the Ksuba. Now, Rabbi Shulaimer, he says that she's not forbidden just by having one witness or a non-kosher witness saying that she's secluded. He says, Acha Yisu V'yitnu Ba Moizus B'Levana, says that she's not forbidden to him until that these women, that they sow their things in the marketplace to the light of the moon, and their custom is that they speak just idle chatter, and moreover, they speak about all the different rumors and about all the suspected people in this city. So until that the women are all speaking about this woman, what she's been doing, only then would he have to go ahead and divorce her and give her the ksuba. And the reason being is because Rabbi Shua holds that actually, as his opinion is brought there in the beginning of the Masechta, that without two witnesses that say that she's secluded with this man, she does not become forbidden to him, because he holds that the giving to the drink of the Meisaita has to come not only with witnesses by the Kinoi, but also witnesses by the Stira. Now, however, but what he is qualifying over here in the Mishnah is, but if all the women are hawking and talking about this woman, about the inappropriate things that she's been doing, then that's something that's already repulsive, that one should be married to such a woman, and therefore then he has to go ahead and divorce her. Now, actually, Rashi says that even if there was the opportunity of giving her the meisaita to drink, it actually wouldn't even work on such a woman. As the Gemara brought in the beginning, in the first paragraph of Vavam Abayis, it says in the pasuk v'tahayrihi, that she's going to go through the whole procedure of the meisaita and she'll be tar, but that wouldn't refer to such a woman that everyone has already been speaking about and she's already been smeared around the town, that the meisaita doesn't work. So therefore, Rabbi Shua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer. He says it's not true that just with any witness, even the Eved or Shivcha, that she'll be ushered to him. For Stira actually needs two witnesses. But if everyone's already speaking about her, then that's something Mechur Hadava, and therefore then he would go ahead and divorce her and give her a ksuba. Now, Amar Eid Echad. Now, continuing on that, after we spoke about the halacha of Kinu and Stira, if one witness comes and he says, Anibri Isiha Shenitmes, I actually saw that she became tummy, that she cohabited with this other man in that seclusion, which again, according to Rabbi Shua, as we just described, has to be with two witnesses, and which according to Rabbi Eliezer could even be through, let's say, the term being called as Eifa Perech, even a flying bird, no matter how he hears word of that she secluded. But again, after Kinoi, after he had wonder and this Dira, and then one witness comes along and he says, I actually saw, so though usually one witness is not believed, but in the context of Kinoi and Stira, he is believed, and therefore lahaisa shaisa. So therefore the woman wouldn't drink anymore the saita waters. And the reason being is because one witness is believed even to create a loss for Haksuba. And the reason being is because what's called in halacha, raglayim ladavar, there's already indicators showing us that he's probably saying the truth, because here the husband warned her and she's secluded with him. And we actually learn this on later on in the Mishnah from Pesukim, which show us that one witness, although generally you need to have two witnesses to be believed in any area of halacha, here one witness is believed to say that she became tameh, and therefore she can't drink the saita waters, and she actually even loses her ksuba when this husband goes ahead and divorces her. Now, v'loy oyed, and not only that, that even one witness is believed, el afila eved afila shivcha hari'il namonim, even if that one witness who says, I saw her cohabiting with that man, even if it's a slave or a maidservant, who are not even edim ksherim, they're going to be believed, and afla paisla b'ksubas, and this is even, as we mentioned before, to make her lose her ksuba. So again, this one witness who says that she was tamei, even if it's an eid pasul, is believed that she's not going to be able to drink the meisaita waters, and also that she shouldn't take her ksuba. Now, however, although generally, no matter who the person is, after kinin stira is believed to say that she was nitma, both to make her not drink and to lose her ksuba, but there are certain women that are exceptions. Chamaisa, her mother-in-law, Ubas Chamaisa, or her mother-in-law's daughter, or Vitzarasa, or her co-wife, which means to say, in Talmudic times where the man had a bunch of wives, so one of her co-wives, or Vivimta, which is her husband's brother's wife, meaning her sister-in-law, but it's her husband's brother's wife. So on some level, she's also like a co-wife, and therefore she hates her. That's what we're talking about, all these women, that they hate this woman. And the reason being is because she's concerned from this woman that she might end up being her co-wife. Because if her husband dies without any children, then she has to have Yibum with her husband's brother, and then she's going to be her co-wife. Or Ubaz Baila, or her husband's daughter from a different woman. So these five women hate this woman. And the Gemara Masechta Yevamah, Daf Kufid Zayin Amud Aleph, explains why is it that they hate this woman? Why does a mother-in-law hate her daughter-in-law? Why does a sister-in-law hate her? All these different things. But the thing is that they're generally not believed regarding this woman for any testimony which would be detrimental for this woman. In spite of that, our Mishnah tells us, Hare Elu Nemanis. They are believed regarding this woman in this testimony to say that she was nitmus with this other man. And the reason being is because, as we said before, the Torah believed any testimony that there is regarding this woman becoming Tamei. However, says the Mishnah, V'loy L'poislam Iksubasa, but they're not believed regarding making her lose her ksuba. And the reason being, as we said, is because they're biased. They hate her, and they might do things that are detrimental to her. So regarding the loss of ksuba, that they're not believed. But again, however, they are believed, Ela Shalei Tishta, but that she shouldn't drink. For that, we said that any one witness is believed. Now, the Mishnah explains this halacha, and that is, Shahoyah Bedin, truthfully is that it, logically we would say that one witness should not be believed that she was nitmus. If not, as we're going to prove from Exeris Akasa, from the Pasuk telling us this, because as follows, Umayim Edis Rishon, if regarding the first testimony, meaning that of Stira, of seclusion, She'ein Oisrasa Isra Oilam, with the prohibition that happens to the woman after she was warned and she was secluded, it's not an eternal prohibition, meaning it's only until she drinks the water. When she drinks the water, then we're going to end up finding out, was she mezana or not? If she wasn't, then she could go back and she's permitted back to her husband again. And still, still that testimony of the stira, which is not even such a severe prohibition. It only works with two witnesses, as we're going to explain from Xeris Shava, and this is again the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who he said, not like Rabbi Yazu, who said even any one person could be testimony for stira. It's going like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you need to have two witnesses for stira, even though it's not an Isra Oilam. So therefore, says the Mishnah, so Eidus Achreina, so the later testimony, meaning after Stira, which is the testimony of Tuma that she was defiled, that she cohabited, Sha'israsa Isra Oilam, where that if someone says testimony and he's believed to say that she cohabited with another man, she was Aisha's Ish, with now she's forbidden forever for her husband, Eina Din Shalita Skaim B'Pachas Mishnah, so isn't a Kabo Chaymer that it shouldn't be able to work less than two witnesses? On that time, Alema, that's what the Pasuk teaches. The aid aim ba, there's no aid in this woman, which is becoming forbidden. And what we learn from that is kol aidu sheyeshba, meaning any witnesses that there is regarding this woman, even one witness, is believed regarding her. And the Gemara will explain how we see this in the Pasuk. Because if one reads the Pasuk, it says, v'shachav, it's this in Bamidbar Perakei, Pasuk Gimel, it says, v'shachav ish oisa, shech lazer, if a man will lay with her, and in an intimate way. And she's going to be concealed from the eyes of her husband, and she's going to be secluded. She's going to become defiled. And it says, there's no aid in her. Now, what does it mean, in aid? As the Gemara will explain, the term aid is actually a reference to two witnesses, meaning that there's no two witnesses regarding this woman, but rather only one, and the pasuk is qualifying, and she wasn't forced, she wasn't grabbed. And what is that qualifying? Obviously say that because if she was nanas, she would be permitted. She wasn't forced, meaning to say that she's forbidden. Obviously we see that when there's eight aimba, when there's no two witnesses, but rather only one, that she's going to be forbidden to her husband. So that's the proof that kaleid yeshba, however types, even if there's one witness, that's what we learned from the Gzeis HaKasim, is believed regarding the woman that she was nitmis. Now, but based on that, says the Mishnah, so we should go the other way now. So kavochem la edus rishayim ata. So from now we should say the kavochem should work the other way regarding from the edus of tumah to the edus of stira, as follows. Uma'im, as we continue on tumah beis edus achrayne, if regarding the later testimony, meaning that of tumah. She isra isra oilam. Where the isra is an eternal isra, as the Gemara said hanafchav chesam and aleph, even regarding a soit to suffik, where we, meaning when we're not even clear yet, up until water was there was the drinking of the water, we learn how it says nitma once and nitma another time. We learn that once to the baal, once to the bayil, where she's forbidden forever to the baal and to the bayil. And most definitely, when we know for sure she was nitma, meaning which is what the Eidus Achrayin is telling us that she was nitmas, she we know for sure for a fact that she cohabited, she was mizana. So that's an iser olam, and yet harehi miskayim es beidach, and still one witness can make her forbidden forever to her husband. So therefore, says the Mishnah, so seemingly edus rishayna she'ein destroys the iser olam. So the first testimony, that of stir, that she was secluded, which that's not an eternal prohibition. That's only making her forbidden up until the water is drunk. Ein adin shediskayim beidachot. So isn't it a kavochema that even one witness should be believed to say that she was secluded? Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches in Devarim as follows. It says, Kimatsu ba ervas daba, when the husband will find regarding his wife something immoral, and then he'll go ahead and he'll divorce her, which is obviously the context we're describing over here regarding a woman being mizana. Ulahal no aimer, and there's a different pasuk in the Devarim that says, in a different context, a pishnaim edim yakum daba, that based on the testimony of two witnesses, can you establish a halacha in the courts? Now, it says davar by ervas daba, and it says davar here. Now, so malahal na pishnaim, just like over there by testimony in court, where it has to be based on the testimony of two witnesses, it says davar afkan na pishnaim. So also over here, when it talks about ervas davar, about having to divorce a wife, it's also based on the testimony of two witnesses, and that's how we know that regarding arayas, it needs to have two witnesses by stira. There's just a gzeis hakasev regarding the halach of tumah that we proved that eid ein ba, there's no two, but there's one witness, which then you're going to be believed. Now the Mishnah concludes with, what do we do when there's contradictory testimonies regarding if she was nitmas or not? Says the Mishnah, Eid Oimer Nitmas. Let's say one witness comes, so we have Kinui, she was warned, Stira, she's secluded. Now one witness says, I know she was secluded. I actually saw through the window, I saw she was defiled. But the Eid Oimer Loi Nitmas. But another witness says, no, it's not true. She did not become Tame. She was not Mizana. Now, so what you have now is you have one opposing the other. So seemingly they neutralize each other. And therefore you're back to the suffix, which is a regular site to suffix. Same thing is Isha Imeris Nitmus, the Isha Imeris Light Nitmus. Let's say one woman says she was Mizana, another one says she was not Mizana. So Halacha is Haisa Shaisa. So she would drink the Mesaita like any suffix site, because here the witnesses neutralize each other and she's back to the same suffix by any Kenyan steer. Let's say one witness said she was tummy, but two witnesses say that she was not tummy. In other words, what they tell that one witness is they weren't with the woman at all time. They just say that it's not true what you're saying, that you saw her becoming tummy. And the reason being is because when you came and you found her when she was secluded, we were with you at that same time. And in front of us, when we were there at the same time, she was not nitmas. So basically what they do is they're neutralizing this one witness, and his testimony is nullified because of the two witnesses coming after him. So basically she's really back to the same suffix, because they're not saying for sure she wasn't mizana. Maybe she was tummy in that she was secluded for maybe an hour. Just these three people, the two and the one, came for, let's say, 20 minutes of that. Maybe she was mizana before that, and it's just that at the time that they were there, they didn't see her being bezana. So therefore, heisa shaisa. So therefore, she would drink, because again, it's not like the one witness who said he said that she was tummy, which then she wouldn't drink, because they say we were there at the same time, we didn't see her being mezana, and therefore you didn't either see. So therefore, we're not sure. And therefore, she would drink. Now the Gemara explains why do we need all these different cases that are seemingly saying the same idea about when it's a situation of safek, then because of the contradiction of the test of the witnesses, that then she would drink the meisaita. Now the Mishnah concludes, however, if shnayim oimim nitmas, let's say two witnesses say we saw her, she was defiled, and one witness says that she was not nitmas, so then lahisa shaisa, then she wouldn't drink, obviously because we believe two over one. And the Gemara will explain exactly the parameters of this halacha, but the simple interpretation is that there's two that says she was tamei versus the one, so therefore since they say that she was tamei, she's not going to drink because we know for sure that she was tamei, and the only one that drinks it is when there's a situation of doubt. Now the Gemara asks, regarding the limud that we brought, that we wanted to know, why don't you say that Eidei Stira, just like by Eidei Tumah, where it's Isser Olam, it's enough with one witness, so too by Eidei Stira should be enough with one witness. So that the Gemara said, that the Mishnah said, that oh, you learn that from Dover, from Hilchas Mamanis to Hilchas Arayis, but just like over there it's two, here so it's also over two. And therefore, Stira needs to have two witnesses according to Yeshua. And that asked the Gemara, Hai Tamo Loimra, this that the Mishnah said, that we learned this from Kimotza Ba'ervas Dover, when you'll find something more regarding the wife. That's where we know that there's a necessity of two witnesses by the seclusion. And that the Gemara asked, why was it necessary to have this Gzeri Shava? But because, and the reason why this is difficult is because in the context of the halachas of the Eidei Tumah, where it says, as we quoted the pasuk before, Ve'eid Ein Ba, that there's no two witnesses, but rather only one, the drasha tells us, Tama Leimer Ba, meaning Ba is in Har, meaning in this context, it's a mir, it's excluding other contexts of related to this woman. Which what it's telling us is that it's regarding this woman in the context of the one who says that she's tamei that one witness is going to be believed, but not in the context of other testimonies regarding her. Which means, ba v'loy bekinui, we believe one witness regarding this woman, regarding the fact that she was nitmis, but not regarding the warning, meaning the warning is not enough with one witness, you have to have two witnesses. And so too, ba v'loy bestira, so too, it's only regarding the tumah that we believe one witness, but not regarding the seclusion. So therefore, essentially, what the stira is like any regular edus of, like that it says in the Torah, which requires two witnesses. So that's mibayile. That's what the Mishnah should have said. Instead of saying that you don't know it from dover, what did it say dover? You know it because of that, because this chiddush, this novelty of believing one witness, the pasuk is explicitly telling you that it's only for the lachas of tumah. That's why you use the word ba to say ba for tumah, but not for kina and for stira. So I already know from that halacha itself that stira needs two witnesses, like any testimony needs two witnesses, because this is only a novelty for the halachas of tumah. So why do we need to come on to a different limud from dover, from halachas of witnesses of mammon? So that the Gemara says hachinamikam. You're right. That is what the Mishnah is saying. Tamalimer, what the Mishnah should have said, tamalimer ba. It says regarding the halachas of tumah that it's only regarding har, meaning the eid ain ba. There's no two, but only one by tumah. That's what we believe one. Which is bavalei bikinoi, bavalei bestira. It's not enough with one by warning, and not enough with one by the seclusion. Now, however, what the Mishnah was saying was, but v'toma be'almo, but regarding a regular woman, that if one witness comes and testifies regarding her, that she was nitmas, he says, I saw she was mezana, with beloi kinoi, beloi stira, where the husband had not warned her, and we don't have witnesses that she was secluded. And still this one witness comes along and says, but I saw that your wife was mezanam. Deloy mehem min eid echad, that we don't believe that one witness. And that's what the Mishnah was addressing and saying, minolan. Where do we know that he's not believed? And that we don't say that the Torah believes one witness regarding the woman becoming tamei. And it doesn't make a difference if it's after kinoi or if it's not after a kinoi. That's what the Mishnah was addressing, because seemingly the pasuk is telling us, there's no two, there's only one, and we're believing him that she was nitmas. So maybe that would be whether there was kinyan stira or not. And that is what the Mishnah says. No. Nemar kan davar v'nemen alhan davar. It says over here by rayis davar, and it says over there, that's the gzeir shava of these words davar, which actually means word, which it says by the halachas of edus, Malahalan b'shnei edim avkam b'shnei edim. Just like over there, it's with two witnesses. Also over here, it's with two witnesses. And in other words, what the Mishnah is explaining is, when the Torah believed one witness regarding the context of Tumah, was only if it's coming on the heels of a kinoy, of a warning, and that there's two witnesses that testify regarding the stira. And then one witness testifies that she was nitmis, and that's because, as we explained, the logic of that is because Rav Lam Ladavar. There's indicators telling us that yes, although Jen would need two, but the pasuk saying here one is enough because it makes sense that he's right, that she was mizana because she was warned with two witnesses, she's secluded with two witnesses. Now, Rashi just explains that although actually when it's written in the pasuk, kinui is actually written after the halacha of Tumah, so the Gemara in Daf Gimel asks this question and says that, but it says v'avar, meaning that the kinui really was beforehand. So, and again, that's what we're describing over here. The halacha of believing one witness regarding the Tumah, meaning the actual saying that I saw her being mizana, that one witness is believed, that's what we're proving from Davar Davar, that no, you need to have two witnesses. This, that we believe one witness, even regarding the Tumah, is only if it came after a kinui and the stira. Now the Mishnah said regarding this, when they're contradictory, if she was nitmas or not, eid oimer nitmas. If one witness says that she was mizana, which he's generally believed, and when one witness says that she was not mizana, so then the halacha is they neutralize each other. And although the first one said that she was nitmas and she would not be drinking, now that the other one contradicts, she goes and she drinks the meisait. Now that the Gemara says, time of the komachesh. It sounds like because the other one witness contradicts the first one that says that she was not nitmas, at least not in front of us. We don't know for sure. Now, it sounds like, but if the second one did not contradict the first one, that the first witness who says that she was nitmas would have been believed that she was tamei and that she wouldn't drink the saita waters. Now, Rashi points out an obvious point, that this diuk that we're making from this halacha was really explicit, already brought prior in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah said, if echad oimer ani rasi she nitmas, if one says, I saw, even one witness, that she was nitmas, lahisa shaisa, that she wouldn't drink. So obviously we believe one witness. Why do we have to make it from this dig of this halacha? So Rashi just points out is because the Gemara ultimately wants to ask on this halacha that if it is, as we're going to prove, that we do believe this one witness in the context over here of Tumah, so then actually how does it help that if one witness comes later and contradicts the first one, to believe him in his contradiction of the first one, but as we're going to explain from Ula, that whenever we believe one witness, we consider him as two edim, so then actually the second person would be like one in the place of two, and we don't believe one in place of two witnesses. That's the only reason why we're bringing it from here, but really, it's the halacha that's explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, where we believe one witness regarding the halacha of Tumah, and that the Gemara asks him anonymously. From where do we know this from? Where do we know, again, as we've explained this in the Mishnah, but now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that's going to elaborate a little bit more to show this and illustrate this halacha that although generally we need two edim even for arayas for kinyan stira, but for the tumah part to say that she can't drink and she gets divorced without a ksuba, we believe even one witness. The Tanna Rabban, like we learned the brisa. The pasuk says in Mamidbar, Perkei pasuk Yud Gimel, it says v'shachav ish oisat shechbazer, if a man will lay with her in an intimate way. Vinelame in the isha, she's going to be concealed from her husband's eyes. Vinistra in the heat nitma, she was secluded and she became defiled. The aid aim ba, and there's no quote aid, which we're going to define in a second what the word means. And vihilo nitpasa, and she wasn't forced. Again, because if she was grabbed, if she was forced, she would be permitted anyway. It's not an oinus. So that's what the pasuk is talking about. So that explains the braisa bishnayim hakasa medaba. When the pasuk says that there's no aid over here, that term aid, although it's singular, it's actually a reference to two witnesses. There's no two witnesses, rather there's only one witness over here. And as the pasuk qualifies at the end, that she wasn't forced, meaning and that's why she's forbidden to her husband, so we see that one witness is going to be believed, as the Bryce explains this. At the Oimer Bishnayim, is that really true? Does the singular term aid, not aidus, which is plural, aid, mean that there's no two witnesses? Or maybe it's saying, as the singularity of it seems to indicate, that no, there's not even one witness. So on that says the price, the Tam Olema, Pasuk teaching the Devarim, there's a different Pasuk in a different context that says, L'yokum eid echad be'ish begaymer, that one witness is not believed to say testimony regarding another person. Now, on that, the price points out, Mimash meshenemer l'yokum eid, isn't it obvious in the fact that it says that a witness should not stand up, Any Deshu Echad, don't I know that it's talking about one witness? Because it says it in the singular term. That's what eight is. So Matay Malama Echad. Why does the seemingly redundancy in the Pasuk say that it shouldn't be eight Echad? So that says the Brisa Zebana Av. So this is a building block that tells us that Kamakum Shnema Eid, wherever it says the term eight, actually Harikan Shnaim. It actually means two witnesses. Until the Pasuk does as it does in that Pasuk in the Varm, and then indicates eight Echad, that then it's one. But that means to say that the term aid is actually means two witnesses. It's one unit of two witnesses. Oh, so on that, it explains the Braisa. That's what the Torah is telling us. It's saying, when it says ve'aiding ba, that word aid means that here regarding this woman, there's no two witnesses, ela chat. But there is one witness that's saying that she was, as the Pasuk says right before that, ve'hi nitma. Oh, and what, is he believed or not? Well, the Pasuk concludes, v'hiloi nitfasa, that she wasn't forced. Well, obviously, when you're qualifying saying, and she wasn't forced, you come to say that she's asura. So obviously, that's the source for this halacha, that regarding nitmas v'hi nitma, that we say that if there's not two, but only one, we're saying if she's not forced, that she's going to be asura. So that's the source for this halacha. Now, and that the Gemara asks, and again, as Rashi explains, that's why we were saying it on this part of the Mishnah. So asks the Gemara, v'kivin dimidirai se'edech mehem, and since as we just proved, that one witness is believed min HaTorah biblically to say that she was nitmas, almost like two witnesses. So then the question is, so then actually, regarding this halacha of the mission that we quoted, when one witness says that she was nitmas, and another one says she was not nitmas, so how do we believe the other one to contradict the first one? Because if we believe the first one, she wouldn't be drinking. He said she's tame. She's tame, she doesn't drink. But we said another one says that she was not nimis. Okay, so they neutralize each other, so therefore she will still drink. It's still a suffix. Question is, how could the second one contradict the first one? But Va'ama Ula, but Ula said, Kamakum Shamina Tari Eid Echad, wherever the Tari believed one witness, which in this context we're believing this one witness, Harekan Shnayim, in other words, we consider that one witness as if he's two witnesses, and the Halacha always is, Ve'in Devar Shalecha B'makum Shnayim. You don't believe one witness in the face of two witnesses. Two witnesses is a more trusted concept than one witness. So the question is, if you're saying the first witness is halachically like two witnesses, so how could the second witness, who says that she was not nitmas, be believed and to thus make her be able to drink the seita waters? So Ella Amar Ula, so he writes this, so rather says Ula, Tani, you should amend the halacha in the Mishnah to say, Loi hoisa shaisa. Actually, that this woman who first had one witness that said she was nitmas and then one said she was not nitmas, actually would not drink. She would not drink. Because you're right, based on Ula's principle, the first one witness is not like one, he's like two. So you have two witnesses saying that she was nitmas and one who says loy nitmas, he's not believed, and therefore she wouldn't drink. No, but Rebchia says, he disagrees, and rather like the gears we have in our mission, he says, Haisa shaisa, she would drink. On that, the Gemara asks the Lord B'chia, Kasha de Ula. You have this difficulty of Ula's halacha, and that is since, as Ula said, the Torah believed this one aid, so he's considered like two witnesses. So how does B'chia explain this, that the second witness, who says that she was not nimis, be believed, but mokim, shnaim, so to speak, of the first witness? So the Gemara answers, like Kasha. It's not a difficulty. Because Khan, in our Mishnah, whereas B'chia explained it, that the second witness could contradict and neutralize the first witness, is Togma Bevas Achas, that both of them said their testimony at the same time, meaning what's called Techle Dibur, within the amount of time of three words from the first one had ended his testimony. Then the second witness could nullify the words of the first witness, because we never yet verified his testimony. In other words, when did we say that when we believe one, that his testimony is considered like two witnesses? That's, for example, if he would say his testimony and we believe him and he leaves, then no one witness could come ahead and contradict him because he's already like two, because he's already been verified. But in our Mishnah, it's talking about that they said at the same time. If he would have been first, he would have been the two witnesses. In other words, so therefore, although he said that she's nitmas, if the other one said at the same time that she was not nitmas, he does neutralize that first one. And that's why the Mishnah says that she's still going to drink. Khan, but in the context of Ula's halacha, would be Toma Bezachar Zeh. If they're one after the other, where if the first one would come and say she was nitmas and then leave, and then the second one would come and say she's not nitmas, then says Rebbe Chiya, yes, I would agree then based on Ula's principle that she would not drink, but our Mishnah says that she would drink was Toma because they said it at the same time. Now, however, the Gemara asks, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, following halacha, it says, Eid oimer nitmis. If one witness says that she was tami, vishnayim oimer loy nitmis, and two witnesses say that she was not nitmis, so haisa shaisa. So then she would drink. And the reason being is because we have two saying that she was not tame, meaning that what you're saying she was tame, we were there at the same time, you didn't see, they're contradicting him, and therefore she's not going to drink. Now, the thing is that what it sounds like from this is that hochad v'chad, meaning, but this reflects on the previous halacha that we were just discussing. But when it's one against one of the reisha, by default, loy haisa shaisa, you have to say that the reisha, when it said this halacha, was saying that she would not drink. Reason being is, meaning, if you'd be learning like Reb Chiya, that the first halacha was that she would drink, then the question is, why do we need this next halacha for? In other words, if you said that if one witness says, which is the same thing as this case we're discussing over here, with one witness says that she's nitmis, and then the second witness comes and says, the second one witness says that she was not nitmus, if the second one witness is believed, then why do we need two witnesses? Meaning to say the next case that we're bringing now over here that says that two witnesses say she didn't become tummy, that they're believed, that's pretty obvious. Because if you're saying that even one could contradict the first one, so for sure that when two are contradicting, for sure the first testimony of one is not believed by Malkum Shnayim. Now, so obviously what you have to say is, and this is the Gemara's question, that this case of the Mishnah, which is the next case of the Mishnah that we're bringing over here, was obviously only said for its dik, for its inference, meaning not like Reb Chiya. In other words, to tell you that, oh, only when two come and say that she's not nitmis, then the first one who said she's nitmis is not going to be believed, and then she's going to drink. But if there was only one coming saying late nitmis, that then actually she would not, that actually then she would not drink. Because if it's coming to tell us the halacha that when two come and say that she's not nitmus, that she drinks, well, obviously. You even said the same halacha by one against one. For sure when now two come against the one. So therefore says the Gemara, two of the Reb Chiya. Seemingly this is a refutation of Reb Chiya. Because if the Mishnah is now coming to say that when one says nitmus and then two says loy nitmus, so that then she drinks, that obviously it's telling us that the previous case when one said nitmus and one said loy nitmus, that obviously then the halacha is that she does not drink. Not like Reb Chiya who said that she does drink. Amalacha Reb Chiya would tell you that no. What I mean? Well, time meich, even according to your reasoning that you hold, that the obviously the halacha of the Mishnah that we're bringing now, of the Sefer, is not necessary because it's obvious that we wouldn't believe the first witness, but Malkum Shnayim of the second pair of witnesses that there are two, and it's obviously coming to say the Diuk and only to reflect on the previous case when it's one against the one, then we don't believe the second one as the other opinions of Ula and Reb Yitzchak has said. So then on that, says Reb Chiya, what do you mean? Amos Seif, I could disprove to you your own logic from the next case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then continues and says, Shnayim oibim nitmus, if let's say two witnesses come and say that she was tamei, ve'echad amir loy nitmus, and one comes and says that she was not tamei, loy haisa shaisa, that then she would not drink. Now the question is, obviously we don't believe one b'makam shnayim, and that's the logic you're coming from. So obviously it's not coming to tell us what's called legufe, to tell us the halacha itself. Rather, for the inference it's coming to tell us. Now, what dig would you be making from this? That hochad v'chad hoisa shaisa, what it sounds like from the dig is, that, but if it was one against one, that then she would drink, which actually contradicts the dig you made from the previous case that we were discussing, right? Because if it's saying that two are saying that she's nitmis, and one is saying she's loy nitmis, that then she's not going to drink, sounds like, but if it was only one against one, that then she would drink. Now, that contradicts. That's like Reb Chiya. You wanted to say that loy haisa shaisa. So obviously, says Reb Chiya, that the Mishnah is not coming to tell us its inferences, because actually the inferentials are contradictory. Rather, it's coming to tell us the halachas that are being said itself. Now, but then that's difficult. What is the Mishnah coming to tell us? Like the other opinions against Reb Chiya had said. That's pretty obvious. We always believe two versus one. So rather, says Reb Chiya, ela kula bipsuli edus. That actually, they're coming to tell us the halachas themselves, but they're talking about general invalid witnesses, where when it says that there was two witnesses that the Tanna says, is actually there those two are psulei edus. For example, women or slaves who are generally not valid as witnesses in court. Those are the two that we're discussing versus the one. As the Gemara explains, Rim Nechemihi, the Tanna of our Mishnah is like Rim Nechemia, the Tanna like Lina Braisa. Rim Nechemi Aimer, he says, Kamakim Shemina Torah Eid Echad, wherever it is that the Torah believed one witness. So essentially what the Torah was doing when it did that is that it was removing this testimony, whatever the context is, from the general halachas of testimonies. Because usually you need two. Here they're letting one. So therefore, both valid witnesses and even general invalid witnesses are equal in this context. And therefore, says Rav Nechemia, halach acharoiv deyas. So basically what we do is we just go after the majority of opinions that are testifying regarding this thing, whichever has more amounts. Will believe them, even though that those are pasul, and let's say those are ksher. Therefore, says the Gemara, v'asur shtei nashim be'ish echad. In those contexts, which include over here the halacha of tumah, where we believe one witness, they made two women opposite one man, kishnei anashim be'ish echad, the same as when we have two men versus one man. So, what the chiddush of the Mishnah is teaching us, what Bechi is proving, is that. Two women, if let's say two women say not like the one man, they will nullify the testimony of that one man. And that's the halacha both in the Reisha and in the Seifa, meaning whether they're the ones saying that she was nitmus or loit nitmus, which Gemara later on is going to ask, that why was it necessary to say this two times? Because essentially there's two halachas that are saying this idea. When you have Eirech Amin nitmus and Shnaim Amin loit nitmus, or Shnaim Amin nitmus and Echer Amin loit nitmus, which are the opposite, but it's two against one, that either way we believe the two witnesses. Okay, so you're saying a chiddush, we understand the novelty in that is because even though those two are not even kosher witnesses, they're two women, still we're going to believe them versus that one person, even though he's a man who is a kosher witness. And in this context, we believe one witness. Doesn't make a difference because since it's a chiddush, this halachas of witnesses, which we allow one witness, we even allow psulim and we go after the majority of opinions. But why was it necessary to say that we believe the two women versus the one man, whether they're the ones saying that the issue is nitmus or that it was loitmus? But anyway, that's how Reb Chiya resolves the question that they're asking on him from the Mishnah, and it actually teaches us what the Mishnah was talking about, why it had all these different cases, because it was talking about the halacha of psulei edus. Now, the ikada amida, those that say slightly different version of this, kalhecha the asa eid echad kasha miikara, they hold that whenever there was a valid witness, meaning a man, not a woman or a slave, that originally came. Let's say there was Edis by Kinoy and Stira, and then there was one man that came along and said that I saw that she was Mizanda, that she became Tami. And his testimony was received in court, because as we prove in the Pasuk, we believe one witness regarding Nitmas. Now, afterwards came Afila Mei Noshim. Even if 100 women come after him and say, what do you mean? We saw, it's not true, he's lying, she was not Mizanda. Namike Eid Echad Damin. Still we consider even those 100 women like one witness. Now, moreover, as we said before, when it's Bezachar Zeh, the first witness, when he's believed, we consider him in the halacha, as Ula had said, like two witnesses. And therefore, we don't believe one, because again, even the 100 women, as it's being brought over here, are like one witness. They're believed, but they're believed like a testimony of one witness, which in terms of one witness is believed, and they will believe the 100 women, but they're like one, in contrast to that one man who actually we believe like two. So again, the 100 women are like one, and the one man is like two, because he came first, so he's like two. So they're like one, and we don't believe one b'malkim shnayim, and actually we will believe him that she was nitmus, and therefore she's not going to drink. Now, so therefore as we continue on top of Lamed Beis and Aleph, so if that's the case, we obviously can't then interpret the halachas of the Mishnah, as we did in the first version, that the two versus one is the two women versus the one man, because actually if the one man came first, then actually we would believe him, even though the two women come afterwards and say that she was not nitmus, actually we'd believe him that she was nitmus and she would not drink. So rather, says the Gemara, v'hacha ma'iskinan, here what we're talking about in our Mishnah, when we said that one witness says that she was nitmus, and then two come along, which as we're going to explain, the two are psulei edus, because that's the whole chiddush. I was talking about regular two witnesses versus one, of course we believe the two, and the two come along and say she was not nitmus, that we're saying that she would drink, that is, as we said, is talking about psulei edus. Now, as Rashi clarifies, this would be talking about whether if they come at the same time or even b'zachar zeh. And this is, as we're explaining, according to Reb Nechemia. Now Rashi just points out, he says, obviously, that what's necessary over here to say as the Chiddush is that they came one after another. This one, and then the two came afterwards. The reason being is because if they came at the same time, then it wouldn't be necessary to utilize Reb Nechemia's principle of Rav Deyus, that will go like the two versus the one, because two is a greater number than the one. The reason being is because even if it was one against one, she would still drink, even though the first one said nitmas and the second one said loy nitmas, because as we said, if it's at the same time, as we proved before, even then they get neutralized because the first one didn't get a chance to be like two yet. So we're talking about even if it's bezach or zeh, so one came first and then afterwards came two. But we're talking about, again, according to the second version, that the first one who came initially and said that she was nitmas was a woman. So therefore, even though it's going to be one after another, the second pair are going to mevatel that first woman. And the reason being is because we're going to explain the opinion of Reb Nechemia as follows. And that's because, as Rashi says, although we initially said on the first version that va'asur shtei nashim be'ish echad, that we considered two women in one man in these special halachas when we believe eid echad as two men in one man, that actually wasn't the end of Reb Nechemia's statement. It was just the first version's explanation of understanding what does Reb Nechemia mean when he say that we'll go achar Rav Deyus. And that's the second version is saying that actually Reb Nechemia doesn't go that far. Reb Nechemia Omer, kamakam shemina tari erecha, that whenever the Torah believes one witness, yes, halach achar Rav Deyus, you go after the majority of opinions. That's up until what Reb Nechemia said. But the second version qualifies it and limits it by saying va'asur shtei nashim be'isha achas, that they made the halacha of two women versus one woman, kishnei anashim be'ish echad, like when there's two men versus one man. Avil, however, this second version holds, shtei anashim be'ish echad, but if, let's say, one man came first, and then two women come afterwards, then that actually is kipalgo. Palgo dami, that actually is like one against one, and therefore, since that's one against one, Rashi explains, if they would come at the same time, so then we actually would make the two that are opposing the one, and we would say that they're equal. It's like 50-50, because he's still a man that's a valid witness, even though there are two, and therefore it would still remain with its suffix, and she would drink. Now, however, but if it would be one after the other, that is, as we said before, according to the second version, since the Torah believed the first one that comes as two, so therefore he would actually be considered like two witnesses, and they, all those women, would consider like one witness, and they actually wouldn't be believed in contrast to the man, and he would actually be believed to say that she was nitmas and actually she wouldn't drink. Now, however, where if the two women came along and said that she was nitmas, and the one kosher witness, meaning the man, came and said that she was not nitmas, then actually she would drink. And the reason being is that's what the Gemara is explaining over here, because they're considered kechad v'chad, like one against one. Now, Rashi says, our Mishnah that said that loy haisa shaisa, that she would not drink, obviously must be talking about, and that's what the second version was explaining, where that first one was a pasul. In other words, this halacha that said that if echad oim, and that's the point of distinction between this and the first version, if one witness comes along and says nitmas, and then two say loy nitmas, where we said that we're going to believe the second peer, and she's not going to drink, and she's going to drink, meaning we don't believe the first one who says that she was nitmas, according to the second version, that's only if that first one was a woman. So one woman, the two later women will be able to contradict her. But if the first one was a man, according to the first version, he's like two. According to the first version, actually, that we are going to believe the second woman that come afterwards. According to the second version, that no, the first man is like two. The later women, even though there are 100, are like one. And we actually wouldn't believe them, but Malkam, that one man. Now, the Gemara ends by asking, "Bitarte b'psuli edus lamalu." As we had alluded to this question previously, why was it important for the Mishnah to mention this concept, whether like the first version, where we even believe the majority of women versus the one man, or like the second version, where we believe the majority of women versus the one woman? Why did the Mishnah have to say this halacha of going after Rav Deyus, of the majority of opinions, in two contexts, in two cases? Either that the one witness is saying nitmas, and the two women are saying loy nitmas, or the one witness is saying loy nitmas, and the two women are saying nitmas, which are the other ways. Why was it necessary to say that? Just say that we believe both. we believe the Rav Deis, why do we have to say it in both contexts? So that the Gemara explains, Ma'u de Tema, we were thought to say, Kiyaz li nabasa Rav Deis l'chumra. When do we say that we go after the majority of opinions? That's only if that comes out as a stringency on the woman, that she's going to have to drink the Saita waters. Avalukulam, but to make it easier for her, where obviously if she was Mazana, she'd rather not drink the Saita waters, because of all the consequences that are going to happen. So however, but to not have her drink, we would have thought, Loyazlina, that then you don't go after the majority of opinions when they're coming from Psuli Edis, when they're invalid witnesses. So therefore, in the case of when two say that she was nitmis, and when one woman says, Loy nitmis, we would have thought to say, since there is at least one woman contradicting those two women, and is saying that she was not nitmis, I would have thought to say that she could on some level contradict them, and it could still remain at least some level of doubt, and therefore she would drink the water. Kamash Mulan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah that tells us that no, even as a leniency, we're going to go after the majority of opinions. So therefore, if two women are saying that she's nitmis, even though one woman is saying late nitmis, we don't believe that one woman that she was not nitmis. We rather believe the two that said she was nitmis. If she was nitmis, she doesn't drink. And that's why we have to tell you, halach acharev deyos, even in that case, not only when the two are saying that she was not nitmis, which is a stringency on her that she's going to have to drink, but even to make her not drink when it's in this context of when we believe even Pesuli Edis, we go after rev deyos of the women. Hanulach Mishakini, we shall return to you the sixth parak Masechta Saita, parak Mishakini.